But I vote for the elections. It's not simple. I have to see what I can work out today. As I said, this piece by the Rav, it's lost. No one has cited it. No one has quoted it. It's never surfaced. It hasn't been published. To me, it's one of the finest philosophical pieces I ever was zeichet to hear from Rebbe. The tape that is available is not clear, and I worked very hard to reconstruct it. More or less, I know the Rav's trend of thought, and I'm positive I have it proper. But what was important last week, we began with the question of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Misha Mava Haya Olam. And the Rav said so beautifully, Misha Mava Haya Olam, this is something ontological, the way God made the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when He commands us. And this is why we have this dichotomy, or this dualistic approach in the Baraita, because there are two aspects to the father-mother relationship. On one hand, there's the ontological reality of how a father relates to a child, how the mother relates to the child. And on the other hand, there are the laws that result that come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that is the basis of our morality. And I tried Friday night to explain this to my grandsons, so each one in accordance with their understanding, but that for us, the heart of Torah is Kedoshim Tiyu Kedoshim Hashem Elokeichem, and if you follow it through, then everything, every law is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is our morality, this is our ethics. So I don't have to tell you how much you can develop this. Even the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, my wife told me that the Rabbi Shubit Sparrow spoke at Chovev Etzion after davening at the last minyan, and she listened to him, and she said he was excellent. And he too showed how in Kedoshim, the laws interchange. Bein Adam L'Mokom, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And by the way, I heard the same vod from the Rav. I have to tell you, I heard the same vod from the Rav. As a matter of fact, I have it in my book. I heard it within a different context, and I have it in the book. Not else for the Torah, but for the insight the Rav was saying for it. But the idea being that for us, all morality and all ethics, even between man to man, is a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it doesn't mean that there's competition between the mother and father, but each one relates differently. This is the complementary, supplementary behavior. And this is why a child, a healthy, normal child, has to have a mother and father. And this is why anyone with common sense is opposed to single women getting artificial insemination, is opposed to lesbian couples or homosexual couples or having children, raising children. You say, what about if the father dies before birth or the mother dies during birth? By definition, a mother can't die before birth. Although here in Israel it happened. There was a terrible car crash. It was in the last year or so. And believe it or not, they were able to operate on the woman. The woman was dead already. They pulled the embryo, the child out. The child was in the eighth or ninth month, and the child survived. So nevertheless, I don't want to quibble with words, but still I'll use the word when the mother dies in childbirth. But that's a bidiyavad situation. Latchila, a normal, healthy child needs a father, needs a mother. And this is why we have this ontological difference. The mother loves the child, cares for the child, always wants that child to remember that he was once part, the child was once part of the mother's womb, the mother's body, and the mother constantly speaks, Mishal Dadal Tob, the Varim, speaks to him, Bishidul, nicely, tries to influence him. The father, on the other hand, is the teacher. And he's the master teacher. His greatest goal in life is to dissolve the community of which he is the head. Halavai, the child should reach the level that the child can walk away, stand on his own two feet. And this is a teacher, this is in learning, this is a father. The mother is just the opposite. For the child to walk away, al kenya zovisha the vivi, kenya zovisha the vivi, mother the for the mother, this is an ontological nightmare, a frightening possibility. And the Rav said so beautifully, and this I have to tell you, I've developed over the years in so many different contexts, because it's extremely powerful, that a father functions with an image memory, a mother functions with an event memory. And if you recall, I digressed and showed you one of the ways you can develop it, that the entire concept of Torah Shebaal Peh, the heart of Torah Shebaal Peh, is an event memory. And you can develop it ad infinitum if you get the sugyas and brachot that we learn Torah, beretet, beyira, kemoshin etna b'hasinai, we are reliving Hasinai. All the Torah I've said over the years that I heard from my Rebbe on Kriyat HaTorah, the whole concept of Kriyat HaTorah is to relive HaSinai. This is why the Mordechai holds those of us that stand at Kriyat HaTorah, because Meika Adin, why should we stand at Kriyat HaTorah? It's an open mission in Sota that with the death of Rabbi Gamliel, Nitmatu HaDorot, Nitmayir HaKoech, HaKoech went down, we now learn Torah sitting. Why should we stand for Kriyat HaTorah? And Meika Adin, we talk a paskin that you can sit for Kriyat HaTorah. But by the way, the problem is you have to stand for the Baruch Hu. And it's a lot of times it's very difficult to stand, sit down. The Baruch Hu you have to stand for, because that's Davar Shel Kedusha. But the Kriyat HaTorah you can sit. But the Mordechai holds you have to stand for Kriyat HaTorah. And the Rav was Nohei Kacha. And the reason being, because the Mordechai held that Kriyat HaTorah is more than just Limud HaTorah. It's reliving HaSinai. It's event memory. You follow me, Ari? It's event memory. That's why you have to stand. Now, you can develop it very beautifully. Now, I just want to... I said it too quickly last week, and I realized I didn't do justice to it. Then the Rav took the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu Lamad Aleph, Pasuk Yeted, Haben Yakili Ri Ephraim, Im Yelet Shashuim, Ki Mi Deidav Ribo Zachar Askerena, Al Kein Hamu Me'ay Lo, Rachem Arachemenu Ne'um Hashem. I didn't explain it entirely last week, because the Rav's word here is neiridic. The Rav takes the pasuk and he says, look, if you look at it at first glance, prima facie, the order is wrong. What do you mean, Haben Yakir? You're talking about Ephraim? First you have to remember him. Whatever we talk about, whatever we speak about, Shmuel Engelson was my student this year. Years are going to go by. He has to go back to his teaching, go back to his world. Years will go by. Someone will come over to me and say, hey, did you remember you once had in your class? Give me the name. So I have to say, first, how would it begin? First, Zachos Karano, I have to remember him. After I remember him, then I can speak about him. So the Rav says, what's going on here? It should be the opposite. Zachos Karano, v'midei dabri bo, Haben Yakili li Ephraim. That should be the logical sequence. And the Rav said so beautifully that what it's talking about here is event memory. And it's the secret of God's relationship with the Jews. That God constantly thinks of Ephraim, Haben Yakirli, not the Ephraim enmeshed in sin, not the Ephraim who's wallowing in idol worship and all types of nefarious behavior, but he thinks, Haben Yakirli Ephraim, Yelet Shashuim. Then he starts to talk about him all the more, and he starts to recall him all the more as a child in innocence in Shmirat Mitzvot. And then as a result, Al Kein Hamu Me'aylo Rachem Arachemenu, I have mercy upon him because I don't see him as he is today. I'm overwhelmed by the events of the past, by the event memory. And this is why this pasuk is so important on Rosh Hashanah, because we're pleading with God not to see us as we are, as sinful creatures, as people who speak Lashon Hara occasionally, as people who curse out other Jews, as people who are caught up in Israeli politics. No, we want God on Rosh Hashanah to remember us when we were young and pure and innocent and dedicated. And this is why this pasuk is so beautiful. But now it makes so much sense, because what I didn't speak about last Tuesday, Al Kein Hamu Me'elo Rachem Arachemenu the Hashem. And that's the way the Rav touched up that sentence. Now, and then of course we spoke about the inborn, the ontological hatred for a mother-in-law to a daughter-in-law. Now, I want to caution you, don't walk out of class saying, of course, it's the halacha, or rois chayshesh. I don't mean that this hatred has to be. It's like when I spoke about in Midrashit Moriah, I dealt with the problem of inter-ethnic marriages. I based it on a tshuva, Yaakov heard my shurim with Reb Moshe Feinstein, Baruch Hashem, you have to be always able to find the source. So I dealt with inter-ethnic marriages. I don't say inter-ethnic marriages can't work out. You have to be aware of the problem. when an American girl marries a Moroccan man, or a Canadian girl marries a Russian, you have to be aware that there's going to be a problem. You have different mentalities, and sooner or later it's going to come out, and you have to be able to overcome it. The same thing with mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. I always plead with the daughters-in-law, be like Ruth HaMoaviyah. Your mother-in-law is older. She's not going to live forever. Have mercy on the situation. You may be absolutely right. But you know, sometimes when you're right all the time, you're also left out. You know what I'm saying? You know, these boys that reject every girl, they're right. This girl is too smart for him. This girl is too dumb for him. This girl is too pretty for him. This girl is not pretty enough for him. This girl is too fat. This girl is too skinny. This girl is this. This girl is that. Every time he's right. But he's now 39 years of age and he's left out. He's in left field, you understand? So many times I agree that the mother-in-law is wrong, but you're the child, you're the youngster, you have your whole life ahead of you. You are privileged. I always say this, Jack will tell you, I gave the girls hell. I said, don't tell me that this woman, this Rebbetzin doesn't cover her hair and that this Rebbetzin doesn't. No one has to tell me about Rebbetzins not covering their hair. Believe me, when I was growing up, outside of Rabbi Yosef Weiss, I didn't have one Rebbe whose wife covered their hair. But nowadays, I'm offended when a female student of mine doesn't cover her hair after marriage. And I tell the girls, you were zayche to learn Torah with Gedolei Yisrael. Maybe if your mothers learned Torah with Gedolei Yisrael, they would be in a higher level. The same thing here. Baruch Hashem, you were zayche to learn Torah, you were zayche to be in Yerushalayim. Give, follow the example of Ruth HaMoaviyah. So I don't want you to think, look, it's not impossible, but the problem is there. It's ontological. It can be the nicest mother-in-law in the world and the nicest daughter-in-law in the world, and they can both be tzidkaniyot. And with all that's involved, Rebbetzin Lichtenstein, Rabbaran's mother, said the hardest pasuk in the world is that Tova took away my Aaron. Now, think for a minute. We're not dealing here with lightweights. We're dealing here with the mother, Rabbaran Lichtenstein, who's probably the biggest lamdan in this generation. When all is said and done, I know people that heard, went to Panovich, went here, went there. They told me, Rebbe, Rabbaran is olal kulam. When all is said and done, leave out the fact the world disowns him because he talks about Pope occasionally and he quotes some Browning occasionally. They're not zeicher to understand where he's coming from. Fine. But we're talking about Baron Lichtenstein's mother. I told you she published Chidushei Torah under a pseudonym in the Tell's Torah Journal. And we're talking about Tova Soloveitchik Lichtenstein. And nevertheless, the mother says to the grandchildren, and these are grandchildren that Aaron and Tova gave her. And she says to the grandchildren, Al-Kain Yazov, think for a minute what's happening here. But it doesn't mean that Tova and the mother-in-law didn't have an exemplary relationship, I have to say. Kala kavod. So you have to understand. And you should know, the Rav had this. I didn't know until recently. Tova told me that the Rav's mother-in-law lived with them in Boston. I didn't know that Tanya's mother reached America, lived in the Rav's house in Boston. So you see the key, but other yang the Rav gave to his mother-in-law, you understand? Live with them, literally live with them. So, Baruch Hashem, it's a halacha, ein hachinami, the basic instinct is there, but don't think that you can't overcome it. Now, right. Now, how do we have the right? Yeah, Ari. You make it up to start now and redo it. It'll take me 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You have to have mercy on me. Jack has a tape. This young lady has a tape. So there are ways to get the tapes. I always say, don't look at notes. Because my teaching, even Rabbi Koopman used to say about my teaching, it's a chavayat shmiya. You understand what I'm saying? It's don't look at notes. These girls in midrash shit give me these phony excuses. Their boyfriend got stuck on a piece of chewing gum. They had to go to KBY to extricate them. Rebbe, I'll make up the notes. I said, look, go help your boyfriend off the chewing gum. But if you want to know the shiur, get a tape. Don't give me that baloney. You're going to look at someone else's notes. Now, how do we have a right? How do we have a right to compare our relationship between human beings to our relationship to God? How do we have a right? What gives us a right? And here too, the Rav was so beautiful that the whole concept of Yirat Shemayim, the Gemara in Brachat, Halavai, we should fear God like we fear Basav Adam. And those words, that's all, and the Talmidim are overwhelmed, and the beautiful answer that no one should see what we're doing. And I tell you, I always think of that Gemara. Imagine you're at the bank, and they count out change for you, and you're supposed to get 1,000 shekel. There's 1,100 shekel. How many good Jews do you know would say to the banker, here, you gave me 100 shekels. Think for a minute. No one in the world knows. It's a mistake. They're not going to find out. They'll never know. They'll be able to count it. Only God is watching. Just think. How many people do you know? Lavriyot. And this is the way we have to fear. Halavai. But you see that you measure the terms of the human relationship with one another in the terms of man's relationship with God. And then we ended off the class by a second baraisa, where the baraita says clearly that you have to honor God like you honor your mother and father. You have to love God like you love your mother. The brighter itself makes this equation. So therefore we see our concept of equating it and learning out one from the other is right on. Avner, do me a favor. I just touched up again. Rachem, Rachem, Enum, Hashem. I didn't do justice to it last week, so make it up. Okay. Now, let me go one step further. And the Rav said something else that's very powerful. Yes, Jeffrey. Yeah, it's of course Brachot Chavchet Namid Bet Gishachola Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. No, it's a famous Gemara. The Balei Musa speak about it. It's a very important Gemara, and this is what I told you. I mean, the classic example. I'll never forget again. You don't understand when we were kids how poor we were. I didn't have money. My father was a postman. Whatever he made, my father was a fallout of the Depression. He left college and he would never leave the post office. He was always afraid there'd be a Depression. At least in the post office, he had $65 a week, rain or shine. You can't imagine how poor we were. I didn't have money for a summer. I wore the same suit all year. When I learned in Lakewood, I remember I once fainted on a warm Shabbos in July because I was wearing a winter suit. And I didn't, I had to wear a suit there. To daven, you had to wear a suit in Shabbos. I ain't kleinikai. Ah, the punish alaylam. Today, I'm an emancipated man. I'm saying shir. You know what this means? You would sit in short sleeves in Ponovich to say a shir. That Rav Shach said Sherman short sleeves 30 years ago and had the room, forget about. On a hot day, he took his coat off. But nowadays, so I didn't have money. We were poor kids. And there was Simcha Feingold was a poor kid. Don't look at him today, Nebuchadnezzar, he's ill today. But he's a very successful, unique dentist. He has a specialty within a specialty within a specialty. He did very well financially. And don't look at him today. As a kid, he used to be a boy bus. That's what the Mashgiach called it, up in the mountains. And imagine the owner of the Glatosha Hotel slips him a $20 bill and he says to him, you can't call them in, don't reveal it to anybody, keep it a secret. If you tell, I'm going to take the $20 back. After davening mincha on Tisha B'Av, bring me a full meal and, you know, here's a secret. There's the classic example. I would save you the $20. Go and ask a shayla if you're allowed to eat. Get a rabbi, get a doctor, bribe them. The rabbi and doctor will say, pikuach nin, but listen, some people have to eat. I don't want to joke about it. Let's say you don't even have to bribe them. And the kid, tell the kid, you have a psak, you have to eat. Say there, all right. But that's the way a human being is. That's the Gemara. And the Rav says here something very deep. And this too can be developed ad infinitum. The Rav says there's something else. It's not just a comparison of human being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's much deeper. When you honor a human being, you are ultimately, or even concomitantly, honoring God. Because after all, where does every human being come from? What do we represent? Tzelem Elokim. What is our uniqueness? Alachat kama v'kama. When you honor your natural father and mother, you are honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where did your parents come from? Who created them? Who put you in the world? Who were the partners in you? Shlosha shutfim ba'adam. And the Rebbe said so beautifully, ultimately, finite love is a reflection of infinite love. So that this whole concept of honoring mother and father, when you take it back to its basics, is really not only honoring father and mother, but honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And certainly, you can infer and learn one from the other. And the Rev brings an open Gemara, of course. Kedushin daf lamed aleph amid bet. It's an open Gemara. And this, you know, I'm talking about the Kedushin. There's a whole sugya. Kibir aviyem lamed aleph amid bet. Rabbi Yossi. Ki havai shama kol karei di ma ama ikum mikam ishchini diatcha. When Rabbi Yossi heard the footsteps of his mother coming, he evidently had an aged mother. Oh, a mother walks slowly. When you grow older, you can hear the footsteps clearly. Or she was wearing shoes that made a loud noise. But he knew it was his mother. What did he say? Let me stand up because the Shekhinah is coming. Wow, what does this mean? The Shekhinah is coming. This is exactly what we're developing. That the finite love is a reflection of infinite love. Your mother and father, this is a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are your creators. So the Rav said, it's not just mysticism, it's a simple halacha. When I stand up for a father and mother, I'm also standing up for the Shekhinah. In back of every father and mother is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God is our father, Avinu Shebashamayim is distant and removed from man. He is our instructor, our disciplinarian. You're going to hear a merit dikvart now. This part of the shir again. See, that's what's beautiful about the Rav. It's part of an overall shir, and yet you can pull it out and it stands on its own. Someone just asked me before class, again, in my new book, Bezrat Hashem, I have in my tick, don't lose that tick, where's my tick? There it is. I covered it up for safety. I have the manuscript of the biographical section. So, in my new book, someone asked me, who's seen it from the family? I said, yeah, Tov and Aaron, the Tweskis, Beseda. So they said, will you have any problem with Chaim? Because Chaim's against people publishing his father's Torah. No, I don't have any Torah in a coherent single unit. But occasionally I pull out something out of a major shia, and that something stands on its own. And here the Rav develops a meritic idea that you can use Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. It's overwhelming. God is our Father. Avinu Shebashamayim is our instructor, our disciplinarian. His desire is for man to stand independently and to carry out his charge. He obligates man, and he instructs man. Bereshit Aleph, Pasuk Chavchet, Vayivarech otam Elokim, Vayomalehem Elokim, Peru, Uruvu, Umelu Ataretz, Vekivshua. Oh, God gives man his charge. Go to it. And then God removes himself. It's up to you. This is the way God planned the world. This is man's endeavor. This is what we call the Hishtatlut of man. Now, if this is the case, if we look at it from the point of view of God the Father to man, son, or man, daughter, then what is the heart of this relationship? The heart of this relationship is his bechira chofshit, his freedom of choice. Man lives in dignity because he has the majestic power to control his own destiny. This is the heart of Avinu Shebashamayim. This is the heart of education. This is the heart of God's creation. We have absolute free choice. It's like a student whom you educate. That student has free choice. You teach him Shas, you teach him Poskim. That student can go on to become a Dayan, a Rosh Yeshiva, a practicing rabbi. He can go on to become a chassid, a mitnaged, a rabarala, a chabatnik, whatever it is. There's total free choice. This is basic in our relationship. This is basic. When a father raises a child, the father gives you free choice. He educates you, but you can choose. Someone's interested in chinuch, someone's interested in medicine, law, whatever appeals to you. There's absolute free choice here. This is the way God made the world. This is the dignity, the majestic power that God gave man. And as a teacher, as a rebbe, this is the basis of their relationship. If this basis wouldn't be here, God wouldn't have to teach you. A Rebbe wouldn't have to teach you. Man would be a puppet. Imagine if you didn't have free choice. So what do you need education for? If you didn't have free choice, either you're born bad, you're born good. No amount of education will help. No amount of guidance will help. You don't have free choice. You're fenced in. No, you absolutely have free choice. The Megillat Eicha, take a look, Perek Gimel. Pasuk lamed chet, pasuk mem bet, mipi alyon lo teitze harot vahatov, nachnu pashanu marinu, ata lo salachta. And that's exactly why we're punished for our sins. Why was there churban bayit? You see, bechira chavshit is the heart of Judaism, the heart of mitzvah, the heart of everything we do. These people that say, leave it to God. I always get upset with them. I tell them, we are not Protestant fundamentalists. The concept of leave it to God is not a Torah concept. I'm sorry. First, leave it to man. And only afterwards can you leave it to God. This is what all of Torah is about. Free choice, human initiative, pur ravum, eluv Torah tzvi kipshua. Those of you familiar with Yisrael Salanter's teaching, you know what I'm saying? Because this is a very delicate problem. And by the way, I have to tell you, I hate to say this. I don't want to sound like an elitist. But I realize as I grow older that all the Torah I received and all of the thwainim and all the learning, you can't impart it to the masses. Unfortunately, the masses are not on the level to understand this, to live like this. This is why perhaps it's very good to have a Hasidic world. For me to be a Hasid is the last thing in the world I could ever be. Give my mind to somebody else. Give my free choice to somebody else. Give my Bechira Chavshit to somebody else. Ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe whether I should become a doctor or a dentist. Ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe if I should marry Rachel, I should marry Sarah. Ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe if I in a million years I couldn't do it. Understand? That's, to me, it's the antithesis of Torah, the Gadlat Adam, the of all of Musa, of all, look at the way Rabbi Yisrael Salanter struggles. How do you deal with Bitachon? How do you deal with Hishtatlut? Where does the Hishtatlut end? Where does the Bitachon begin? And Rabbi Yisrael said so beautifully, a person has to be Mishtadel as if God does not intervene at all. And when you've done everything you possibly can, then you have to say, now I have to trust in God. And this is exactly Bechira Chavshid. God is our Father. God is our teacher. God gives us free choice. You have to struggle with all the problems. It's all up to you. God gave us revelation, gave us the Torah, but from that point on, it's up to the human being. And that's the whole concept, I don't have to tell you, of Tano de Achnayi, of the whole concept of the Gemara in Bab Metzia, Dafnun Tet, and the whole concept of the Mishnah at the end of Perek Bet of Rosh Hashanah, with Eile Mo'ad Hashem, Asher Tekru Atam B'Mo'adam, Afilo Atam Shogig, Matalfim, but you make a mistake, it's up to you. God gave it to you. You have to struggle with it. You have Bechira Chavshit. Everything comes from the man. It's as if to say, the minute God gave us the Torah, he was Metzamtzem himself. And all of you know what Tzimtzum means. Midat HaTzimtzum, I trust you've all studied a little Tanya. It's not Shayach in this day and age. You should reach the age of 25 without having a little Tanya under the belt. But Midat HaTzimtzum, when God made the world, he brought a sacrifice. After all, we're sitting here. Umalah kol aretz kavodo. And if we're sitting here, we take up space. The world takes up space. Kadosh Baruch Hu had to be Metzamtzem himself. Just as God withdrew when he made the world, he withdrew when he gave us the Torah. Look at, you can develop this with the Medrashim beautifully. Until then, the Torah was the most precious possession of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The minute he gives it to man, God is out of it. And this is why we call him, look at the Rebbe's book, we call him Avinu Sheba Shemayim, not Avinu Shebaretz. God is distant. God is our disciplinarian. God removes himself. He wants man to function alay adamot, and God watches what you do with your life and the free choice you have. However, there's another side to the coin. This is Avinu Sheva Shemayim. This is Bechira Chavshit. This is man's endeavor. This is the Hishtadlut in life. Look into the Ramban, by the way, in Pashat Yitro, on the Aseret HaDibrot, where he deals with Zachor V'Shamot, Yom Shabbosh L'Kadsho, and finding a cake. Do you eat it today? Do you put the cake aside? You know, the Gemara in Beit Sadaf Tetzayin. Look into the Ramban there. You see, he develops this very nicely. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I think a lot of his development comes from that Ramban. But this is the Rav. This is the Rav saying so beautifully, fine. This is one side of the coin. However, there's another side of the coin. And that other side is, with all the free choice we have and all the human dignity, nevertheless, we're human beings with human foibles. At times we're prisoners of our own creation, of the world. We can't fight against the trend. We can't fight against the tides. The Yetzer Hara at times is overwhelming. The desire for carnal pleasure is overwhelming. The beautiful world, kesem ha'olam ha'choteh, the beautiful world of sin, it is so attractive, the pull is so great. Just go down to Atlantic City, haven't zochi yet to be in Las Vegas, go down to Atlantic City, and you see with the gambling, and I always say you can learn so much from that gambling. You go into these beautiful, beautiful hotels with rooms that seem endless with the gambling, no windows, just artificial light. It's psychological. You should never stop gambling. You shouldn't be aware, not of morning and not of night. And I say, this is the way we have to learn Torah. We can learn from Las Vegas, learn from Atlantic City. But look into those rooms. It's amazing. They have special areas where the heavy gamblers, these are the special people. It's $1,000 a roll. These aren't the kids. These aren't the lightweights. These aren't the tyros. These aren't the cheapskates. These aren't the people that come down to Atlantic City for a free ride and waste $20 there. These are the heavyweights. And you see them leading in Hasidish Jews. Rebbeinu Shel Olam. They have Bechira Chavshit. Nah, it's no Bechira Chavshit. They're caught up. The glistening world, the kesem, the mosheich, the money, the power that comes with it. Sometimes there's just a tremendous scandal broken in America. You know what I'm talking about? I heard that it's unbelievable. Hofeich galim, hofeich galim. Bankruptcy, thievery, larceny. All in the Haredi world, the Lakewood world, Lakewood Yeshiva, Rabarin Cutler's Yeshiva. This is what did I hear the facts right, Jeff? Still coming out. But I have debate. I understand Wall Street Journal ran it on the front page this week. $600 million. Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Does a man have free choice at times? He's so fadobin and so swallowed up in the Yetzer Hara. And each one. Some people have a Yetzer Hara, endless money. Some people have a Yetzer Hara, endless pleasure. Some people have a Yetzer Hara, endless women. No, this is the reality of the human frailty, the human tragedy. So at that point, perhaps your free choice is compromised. Perhaps your free choice is cut into by the reality of your creation. And at that moment, the last person in the world you want to see is a father / teacher. The last person in the world you can relate to is a disciplinarian. At that moment, you need a mother. A mother who always has pity on her child, who will take the child by the hand and help him cross to the other side of the street. What did I tell you about when I came to Newark last week? I came to Newark, Ir HaKodesh, and in the early 60s, some big Jewish gangster was rubbed out. And I remember the funeral, how in downtown Newark, which was once a Neva Aim be Israel, today you don't see a Jewish person there. What happened to Newark is indescribable. And at the funeral, his mother is running, crying and crying, mein Zunala, mein Zunala. This was a gangster, a murderer, a killer, a robber, a thief. He ran a whiskey, a still out in Pennsylvania, a phony printing press with the mafia in downtown Newark, and no matter what he did, the mother walks after the coffin crying, mein Zun, in tears. This is already a different personality. At that moment, when we're overcome with the filth and the dirt of sin, we don't want God as our father. We want God as our mother. And at that moment, God is mitgalet to us as Ima Shechina, feminine personality. At that moment, God gives us courage. God gives us strength. God gives us solace. God gives us comfort. No amount of sin or crime can ever abrogate, cut asunder this relationship of a child to his mother. When the matzav of the child, when the state of the child is in its lowest, most difficult situation, at that moment, God is infinitely closer to him. The more difficult the situation, the closer God is. It's an open pasuk. Vayikra, perik tetzayin, pasuk tetzayin, hashochem itam, betoch tumatam. And this is exactly God as mother. Man often loses his courage to act righteously and forfeits its heroic ability of defiance and succumbs. God as father is no longer with him. He's flunked the test. Took the bus of a chalav and he got a 30 on it. Rabbi Miller's furious with him. He's flunked the test. God doesn't want to look at you. Thief, murderer, rapist, etc. However, neither sin, disobedience, or rebellion ever causes the living presence of God as our mother to abscond. It is only the patience and perseverance of maternal love that can overcome the sinning man. The Shekhinah, God's constant presence in our midst, gives man the opportunity for forgiveness. Now, I just want to tell you in parentheses, before I go further, because the Rav is going to say an unbelievable Chiddush Torah here, but I just want to tell you in parentheses, see, you can develop this theme so beautifully, those of you in the Rabbinate, in Chinuch, doesn't matter. What do we see from this? Tshuva is always possible. When someone says to you, oh, I feel cut off, it's not for me, I have no kinship, I feel lost, I can't begin, it's overwhelming, I'm lost, I've ruined my life. And you hear people speak like this, lo aleinu, you know, we're living here in a little sheltered world. But people speak like this. So you have to tell them, no, you're not lost. God is your father, may be upset with you, but God is your mother, is still patting you on the head. The Shekhinah still loves you. No matter what you do, it's like a child. A mother loves a child. No matter what the child has done, the mother will be malamed zchut. The mother will try to understand. The mother will blame. Ah, you know what they say? It's his friends. Remember when I first got my start in the yeshiva? Don't think I started. I got to start teaching kids who threw spitballs at me in YU. So whenever I had a kid, I had a problem with. You know, you send for the kid's parents. Mr. Davis sent for. You know what Mr. Davis used to say? Your father, or your mother, or one of your parents. That was one of Mr. Davis' classic comments. You're suspended immediately, indefinitely for 2 weeks. Indefinitely for 2 weeks. Ask your father, Avi, Ari, the legendary Mr. Abrams. So, you know, the mother would come right away. No, my son, yeah, I understand, but it's this kid. This one's a bad influence. This chavrut is a bad influence. It's the kid he rides on the train with. This kid taught him how to curse. Whatever it is, you know, you hear it right down the line. That's what you have to say to the human being. God is your father, may be upset with you. Granted. Your life is filled with the zuhama, with the filth of sin. Agreed. But God as the Shekhinah, as your mother, Hashokheni tam mitoch tumatam, God loves you, cares for you, wants you to return. This is why tshuva is possible. This is the heart of tshuva. And the Rav, by the way, he sit upon that theme, as I just put it, many times he sit upon the theme of understanding tshuva in that fashion. Now, watch what the Rav does. Watch this. Meridik. All of you know, Minig Yisrael, the 10 days of repentance, we learn a perek each day from the Rambam Hilchot Shiva. Right? Hilchot Shiva, it's interesting, the 10 prakim is probably the part of the Rambam that is best known. When you talk to people about Hilchot Shiva, most people can talk intelligently what the Rambam says in Hilchot Shiva. It's overwhelming. That's Minig Yisrael. There's also a minute you should know that Rosh Hashanah, at each meal, you have 4 meals Rosh Hashanah, each meal you learn 1 perek of Rosh Hashanah. 4 prakim, 4 meals. 10 prakim in the Rambam, 4 prakim in Rosh Hashanah, 4 meals. Rambam, 10 prakim, Aseret Yemei Tshuva. When you look into the Rambam, can anyone tell me what is perhaps the most basic thing? Don't tell me repentance, of course. The 10 prakim all deal with repentance. But the most basic thing, the Rambam, it's the most famous part of Hilchot Tshuva. The Rambam dedicates 2 entire prakim, 5 and 6, to Bechira Chavshit. Right or wrong? That's the famous Rambam where he deals with Paro. What are you talking about? Vechazek Hashem et Lev Paro. And what does it mean? And a person has to have Bechira Chavshit. What does Bechira Chavshit mean? How do you relate to God? How does God relate to the human being? He struggles with it for 2 tremendous prakim. So that 1/5 of the Asara Prakam and Hilchot Tshuva don't even deal with Tshuva. It deals with Bechira Chavshit. Well, you know what's amazing? Where did the Rambam codify the basic concept of belief? No, the Shmona Prakam, the Yud Gimel Midat. When the Rambam puts down the Yud Gimel Midat as the Ikarim of our religion, he does not put down Bechira Chavshit. Those of you that say the Yud Gimel Ikarim every day, think for a minute. It's not there. Go into the Yigdal, take the Yigdal, dissect the Yigdal, which is putting the Yud Gimel Prakim to a melody, to a tune, to a poem, call it what you wish, to a liturgical song. It's not there. Bechira Chavshitz is not there. God is the creator, God is the commander, is the Noten Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu's role, Yemot HaMashiach, everything is there. Tchiyat HaMetim, everything is there. Labriot. God, as giving us Bechira Chavshitz, not one word about it. And this becomes very difficult because the Rambam here speaks in terms of the Bechira Chavshitz and two entire prakim, and he glorifies it and he analyzes it and he goes into such depth, and he has to deal with the Chazek Hashem at Leif Paro, and he calls it an Ika Gadol B'Yahadut, and he calls it the Yisod HaYad. He gives it so many different titles and shows that it's so classically important. And yet the same Rambam doesn't put it into the Karim. What's happening here? And the Rav said so beautifully, yes, the Rambam knew what he was doing. He couldn't put it into the Karim because Bechira Chavshit is a basic principle, but it's not a constant principle. At times, a person loses his Bechira Chavshit. He's too small, too little, too overwhelmed, too weak, too frail to take advantage of this wonderful concept. And this is why the Rambam could speak about it and analyze it and devote two entire prakim in Hilchat Tshuva. But when it came to the Yikarim, the Rambam left it out, because at times the human can only relate to Imah Shechina. He cannot relate to Avinu Shebashamayim. As a matter of fact, the Rav said, it's an open Gemara. Brachat lamid bet amid aleph, a meridic Gemara. Ilamale shlosh mikrat halalu, nitmotatu ragleichem shel sonei Yisrael. If not for these three psukim, the Jewish people would be wiped out. All of you know when the Gemara says soneim shel Yisrael, it's a euphemism because we don't want to curse out the Jewish people, so we curse out our enemies. But it means the Jews. If not for these three psukim, the Jewish people would be wiped out. One pasuk from Micha, Perek Dalet, pasuk Vav, Va'asheh Harayti, meaning God made us evil. Another pasuk from Yecheskel Lamed Vav, pasuk Chafav, v'hashiroti et lev ha'evn mipsachem, v'natati lechem lev basa. It's God created us with a lev evan, with a heart of stone. It's not our fault. We were created that way. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu Yudchet, pasuk Vav, hinei kechomeh b'yad ha'yotzeh, kein atim b'yadai Beit Yisrael. Oh, we are putty in God's hands. These three psukim contradict the entire concept of Bechira Chavshit. And what do these psukim come to teach us? Yes, of course there's Bechira Chavshit. Three psukim in the Nevi'im cannot uproot God's command, Peru v'ru milu ataretz v'kivshu'u, cannot revoke God's command, Hinei netati lechem lefneichem hayom et achayim v'et hamavet u'bachatam b'chayim. Chas v'chalil, you can't uproot what's a basic concept in Torah. But this Gemara, citing the three psukim, recognizes, acknowledges, that at times the great human being is weak. He can't overcome the evil inclination. God put the evil inclination into us. At times, we just surrender. And at that moment, we have lost our relationship with Avinu Shebashamayim. Our relationship is with Imah Shechina. And this is why it can be a basic principle, but it can never be an Iker in the Yahadut. The thesis is, the Rav said, that man is mature and free. The antithesis is that even the mature and free man constantly needs a mother. The synthesis is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us as both a father and both a mother. As a father, he is our instructor. As a mother, he's like the Shechinah, Hashochem itam, mitoch tumatam, constantly waiting for the Jew to be chozer b'tshuva, not giving up on any Jew like a mother who longs for the return of her child. The child has to come home. God is our Father accepts the thesis. Man is an adult and is consequently responsible for his actions. God is our Mother accepts the antithesis. Man is a child, weak and helpless, and in constant need of mother's help. Bechira Chavshit provides the basis for the thesis, Avinu Shebashamayim. The antithesis, God as Ima Shechina, provides the basis for Tshuva. Yes. Yishak Piv. You see, it's nothing. It's nothing yet. You see. It's mind-boggling. And this is to an audience that he had planted Stern Kahn. But look what the Rav is saying here. Put yourself back in the time machine. Use your event memory. It's the late 60s. The women are going crazy. Women's Lib, Gloria Steinem, Bella Abzug. The hatred for men. You don't know what it was like. The hatred for femininity. Pardon me, I don't want to say anything vulgar, but they were burning aspects of feminine clothes in public, in universities, marching and burning. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And this was hitting Visa Kitzelzich Azeh Yidlzich. Remember what I told you. We live in a big world. What do you think? We're separate from the big world? Avraham HaIvri. Avraham Eva Hana. Yes, as a Jew, we stood on one side. The world was on the other side. And nevertheless, Avraham was the kabrink, was the leader of the entire world. And we have constantly lived with dialectical tension. We're Jews and we're humans. We're humans, we're Jews. There's an interaction and yet there's a retreat. There's withdrawal and there's interaction. And this is ongoing. And we're affected. And even the most pious among us, particularly in modern times with the ghetto falling, you understand, even the Satman America, who would ever dream that Satman America would take their mezuzah off the wall, bring in the federal government, asar on children who lo aleinu are special children to make a bracha, not allowed to make a bracha where there's a secular building, whatnot. Even Satma, you think we're the only ones? Please, don't have a guilt conscience. It's not only YU. Even Lakewood now, we're all affected. It's a very difficult time. No one knew how that would end. There were women, I spoke about it yesterday in class, talking about divorce with the girls, the whole Jewish concept of divorce. There were women, the daughters of the greatest Rabbanim, the finest Rabbanim. And these women got themselves doctorates and walked away from Yiddishkeit quicker than you can say Jackie Robinson. If you know that expression. One of my friends was married to one of these girls. 7 years of marriage, had a divorcer. She became, this is a Ramaz graduate, a Frum girl and everything. Became a professor. Got a PhD. Threw away her Yiddishkeit quicker than you can say Jackie Robinson. And away with him. And here the Rav, and you have to understand the awe in which the Rav was held by now. You read my essay on the Rav's life, you'll understand. The Rav, when he first came to Boston in the 30s, he was treated like a dog. Who the hell was he? Another Agudat HaRabbanim rabbi trying to bring order to Kashrut, trying to shape up the Balabatim. The Rabban was treated like a dog. He had a miracle. Found himself, got the right niche in life. He was hunting, searching in Boston. He tried to become chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. You don't run from Boston to Tel Aviv in 35 unless you know that what you're doing in Boston is a waste of effort. It's a waste of a human being, his capabilities. And then Baruch Hashem, he comes to YU and gradually he becomes the Rav. It doesn't happen overnight. Bear that in mind. By now, this is the late 60s, the world, the Rav is the Rav. And here the Rav is getting up in front of 2,000 people, all of the Stern College student body, and the young men and whatever came, the Rabbanim, and he's saying in public, God is a woman, God is a male. All these women libbits that went around quoting, what's her name, Anthony, Eleanor, what's her first name, I forget, Susan B. Anthony, trust in the Lord and she will save us. Hey, now these women, yeah, you can say it. Trust in the Lord as Mother Shechina and she will save us. Trust in the Lord as Avinu Shebashamayim, disciplinarian, and he will save us. I mean, if I can use a word, this drasha not only is absolutely halachically, philosophically, theologically sound, but it was cathartic. At that moment in time, it was absolutely cathartic. Now, when you look at the Rav's drasha and his life, you can see that there were moments where you can only say it was hashgacha pratit. He rose to the occasion. He rose to the occasion. I can give you many examples. I can only say, I don't have time now, but I can only tell you, the mechitza remained in America due to the Rav. The Rav rose to the occasion. The mechitza remained in America due to the Rav. You have no idea what was going on, and the women's lib, and the modern Orthodox, and the solar pool, and they all meant well. I'm not criticizing anyone. And the Rav got up there, and here was a man who was frightened to take a public stand, and never got involved in the public line. He was so burned by what happened in Boston in the 1930s. He was decimated by the kashrut, by the scandal. Imagine, he was almost under indictment. There was a state investigation of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. Now imagine. And people lied, and people testified, and rabbis lied, and the man could have wound up in jail. Could have been disgraced forever. It's the Brisker Rav Zeinikel. And he was scarred, even though you'll read Rakefit's work on it, fine. He was scarred. That he was exonerated is true, but the scars remained. And he shied away, machloket, I have a letter from the Rav telling me, don't get involved in machloket, no good comes of it. And that's the way he dealt with life, always, from that time on, forget it, run away. And he was always criticized. The right wing used to go crazy, JB doesn't take a stand, JB this, JB that. They never bothered to understand the Rav. But when all was said and done, when we come back and you see where the mixed pews, the stand the Rav took, single-handedly, he kept the mechitza in the modern Orthodox shul. Today, Baruch Hashem, in the 1990s, like I said on Sunday, in Rabbi Rackman's shul, they raised the mechitza up to the roof. But put yourself back in the 1950s, when shuls had mechitzas, if you didn't know it was mechitza, you wouldn't even call it. You could have tripped on it. It was a little stick in the ground, period. And the Rav singer. So you see, there's a certain hashgacha. I can show you more examples, but let that suffice for now. But this talk, yes, God is our father, God is our mother. What's the inference? No woman can feel inferior. When a woman's now out on a date and a boy starts haunting her, you're a female, there's an expression in Yiddish. I told you the story. If I didn't tell, I told it. It's one of the most beautiful stories ever. It happened in the Bronx. You have to remember the Bronx. The post-World War II Bronx with all the survivors. So Rabbi Braunschweigel, some of you studied with Rababa. Rababa had an older brother, may he rest in peace, Avraham Brown. He changed the name from Braunschweigel to Brown, and he was the photographer. Of all these smachot, of all these bar mitzvahs, never he made a living. What people were poor in the Bronx, they once did it. It's a famous story, once did a bar mitzvah. And the mother of the bar mitzvah boy got involved in a machlekes with him, didn't want to pay him, and he said to the women, "You're like nicht mehr wie a Frau, a Weibe, you're no more than a woman, you're a lowly wife, who the hell are you to open a mouth to me?" The woman took him to Din Torah before Rav Moshe Bick, Zeicher Tzadik Livracha, and Rav Bick fined Brown $50. That's like $500 today. He had to give the woman $50 because he said to her, "You're no more than a woman. You're a viber, a vibersha. Machashvag. Be quiet. Who the hell are you to talk to a man?" So here, a guy is out on a date with a girl and he's putting her down and he says, "Avinu shebashamayim." And the girl, if she heard the Rav Shir, says, "You idiot. Ima shchina." Understand? The guy says, "Disciplinarian." She says, "You dummy, Rachmanut," from the word Rechem. Understand? It's magnificent. And this is the way he touched up Bechira Chavshit. Bechira Chavshit is Avinu Shebashamayim, discipline. Discipline means you have free choice. I educate you, now you're on your own. Do what you want. Tshuva, Rachmanut, that's Ima Shrina. A mother is constantly waiting for the child. No matter how far the child has sinned, no matter how far he's gone, the mother can't let go. And we can illustrate it ad infinitum. It is ontological. In some of the cases I told you about, where these women ran away from Yiddishkeit, the fathers insisted on sitting shiva. I can tell you that the mother sat shiva only because of Shalom Bayit. No mother wants to sit shiva for a child who's still alive, even if the child left Yiddishkeit. The mother sat shiva, shalom bayit. The father's mama sat shiva, father disciplinarian, I failed, my kid got a 0 on the exam. The hell with him. I'm not interested in him. I don't want to look at him. It's like a student gets a zero. I put so much effort into teaching you. And you get a 10, you get a 20 on the exam. Go fly a kite. I don't want to look at you. The mothers, only they sat shiva to do shalom bayit, only to keep their marriages intact. And that's the difference. Let me just finish. Aaron, just one more note. And then the Rav said so beautifully. This is why the Rambam Paskin, Hilchot, you all know there's a whole machloket. I can't go into details now. Everyone knows the sugya. Kedusha Rishoni Kitchala Shaita, Lo Kitchali Yatid Lavo, Kedusha Shnia Kitchala Shaita, Kitchali Yatid Lavo, some Rishonim Paskin Kedusha Rishoni Kitchali Yatid Lavo, but this is the famous plaque of the Rambam, Hilchot Beit Bechira, Perek Vav, it's Halacha Tetzayin, that even though the Rambam Paskin's Kedusha Rishona of Yehoshua is only L'Shaita V'lo Latid Lavo, however, when it comes to Yerushalayim and the Mikdash, that Kedusha, from the moment it got it, the moment it received it, the moment it was imparted to it, that Kedusha Rishana is L'Shaita U'Liyotid Lavo. And the Rambam says, I'm now quoting, V'lomani Omer, why do I change my opinion? Why, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, I paskin Kedusha Rishana Nitbatla? And when it comes to Migdash and Yerushalayim, I paskin Kedusha Rishana Kitshaliyotid Lavo. The Rambam himself asks why. And the Rambam answers, look at this answer. Lafi she kedushat hamikdash v'yushalayim b'tnei ha-shchina. V'shchina eina b'teila. That kedusha is because of ima shchina. It's because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ha-shochein iman b'toch tumatam. And that shchina is never abrogated, never annulled. That's exactly your mother. And then the Rambam added, "Nu, who disagrees with the Rambam? It's a Shita Dechuya, the Raibet, right?" So the Rav said, and I can still remember the Rav's words, the Rav said, and I want to tell you, I'm positive, that even if the Raibet disagreed with the Rambam, Chas v'chalila, it's not because Mother Shechina is not waiting for the Jew. But the Rav said so beautifully, it's because Mother Shechina accompanied the Jew into every country of exile. The Shechina went to the Jews into Germany and into France and into Poland and into Russia and into White and into Lithuania, and now the Shechina has followed the Jews even to America. The Mother Shechina cannot part from the Jew. So it's not that the Raibid's viewpoint is a contradiction to the concept of mother always waiting for the child. But the Raibid's viewpoint is simply the Mother Shechina packed her suitcase, picked up her walking stick, and followed the Jews to every country, to every place where they went. And you can develop that. I don't have to tell you the Nefesh HaChayim, the Lithuanian approach of Chaim V'Lashon, Mother Shechina, we're going to come to it shortly, represents Talmud Torah. Wherever the Jews learn Torah, that's where the Shechina is. You'll see how we deal with it. But Reb Chaim had a meritic thought. They say that Reb Chaim V'Lashon said, Mashiach cannot come until every country in the world has had its Kedusha from Jewish presence. And Reb Chaim said that the Jews are going to, even in America, there's going to be a great rebirth of Torah because the Shechina will be with them, even in America. Reb Chaim V'Lashon said that. And I'm paraphrasing it. But take a look what's happened in America today. Not the negative part. Forget about what we spoke about now, the latest scandal that is overwhelming. Look at the positive. Look how many Jews are studying and living Torah in the United States today. Mi milel u mi pilel. So you see, Rav Chaim V'Lashon was right, and to a certain degree, the Raibet is right. I always would like to think the Rambam is right and the Raibet is right. The Rambam is right. Makam HaShechina constantly has God's presence. And the Raibet is right. Wherever we are in our exile, our Mother Shechina follows us. When we leave, it moves on. But HaKotel HaMaravi, HaShechina Lo Zaza. May HaKotel HaMaravi, how does the Medrash say it? Hinezo Mei Dacha Kotleinu. The pasuk in Shir Shirim, and the Medrash says, "Zakotel Hamaravi, Hashchina Lo Zaza." Zakotel Hamaravi. The Raibet Shita, yes, the Rambam can be correct, but nevertheless, the Shechina moves on. And today, the Shechina is in America, in Canada. It's amazing what we've seen. And this is why tshuva is possible. Bechira chavshid is not part of our relationship with God as mother. God as father, bechira chavshid is the heart. Aaron, what's your problem? Right. Right. Right, someone says, so what are you trying to show from that? Right. So because the Rebbe has to repeat until the Talmud understands. Right, so very good. So what you're saying is, even though the natural instinct, the natural response, very good, Aaron, I love what you just said. The natural response of the Talmud, of the Rebbe should be, go fly a kite, you're a dummy, you don't have a good mind, but he's required to inculcate himself with motherly traits in order to be a good Rebbe, that has to be part of the mother within him as well. And you know something? The truth of the matter is, you could develop this with the Rebbe's, his hesped for the Tona Rebbe, Harav HaDomel HaMalech, Raharav HaDomel HaMalech. I can't go into it now, but if you know the hesped, the Rav HaDomel HaMalech, of course, is more the father figure. The Rav HaDomer, what he called the Kohen, not the Malach. The Rav HaDomer Malach, the Rav HaDomer Kohen. The Kohen is more of the mother figure. There's a difference between them. And he can develop it with that. That the father teaches logic and precision. The Kohen teaches emotion and the close contact with God. So you can develop there too. Very nice. Now, fine. Let me go further. Like to finish this today. Let's see what we can do. Let me go further. We're fighting time because tomorrow is May 1st, am I correct? Tomorrow is the day that the old Marach, that Paris used to march with the red flag. The big phony buried the red flag and he doesn't march on May 1st. I demand that Paris march on May 1st. We should be out on the street demanding a march tomorrow led by Paris, Barak, and Ramon. Beautiful. Demand it. See how far you get. What did I just say a minute ago? God is Ima Shechina. How do we meet God? How do we deal with God as Ima Shechina? Where does he really reside? You know where he resides? In Talmud Torah. When we study Torah. Watch now the way the Rebbe develops this. Talmud Torah has a dual aspect. Look into the halacha. Look at the way the Rambam phrased it. And check it out tonight. It stares you in the face. Hilchat Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. Avokat Naviv Chayav Lelamdo, Torah Shneimar Limadtem Eltamet Bneichem Ledaba Bam Mechiv Deoraita, to teach your child Torah. Halacha bet, which is so germane for me, kishem shechayav adam lilmod lilamed, it should be. Et beno, kachu chayav lilamed et ben beno. Fine. Beno benim, how did Chazal put it? These were the last words Meir Kahane told me. The last time I met my Rebbe in Bnei Akiva, Reb Meir, it was at Mincha Tainit Esther in my shul. He was in the neighborhood. And I told him I just had another grandchild. And he said to me, now you'll understand, B'nei Banim, Harayim Kabanim. So that it's interesting, the same kiyum of father teaching his son is the same kiyum when a father teaches a grandson or a great-grandson. It's mamish like teaching your son. Fine. Halacha Gimel. Mi shelo lamdu aviv, chayav lamed et asmo, kisheyakir. And if your father didn't teach you, then when you grow older, it's like Brit Milah. The chiv is on you to learn yourself. It's like Brit Milah. You understand, when a child doesn't have a Brit, there's no chiv karet on the child. It's only later when he matures and he doesn't give himself a Brit Milah kishayakim, when he understands, that's when there's a chiv karet on the child. So we see the Rambam here makes clear that there's a tremendous chiv of Talmud Torah. It applies to every father teaching his son, teaching his grandsons. And if the father's not around, or whatever the reasons were, you didn't have a father, he couldn't teach you, then when the son grows big and kishayakir, he has to study Torah on his own. Fine. So the Rambam Paskin, you can't do any better than this. It's spelled out. If anyone can't, how do I know there's a chiyuv to learn Torah? Refer to the Rambam at the start of Hilchot Talmud Torah. The Rambam says it clearly. V'limadetem et meneichem, and if it can't be literally, let it be figuratively. The boy will learn on his own. Kishei yakir. Beautiful. No, the Rav said. Take a look. At halacha chet. The Rambam comes in on halacha chet, and he seemingly repeats the whole halacha with an interesting addition. Halacha chet, perek aleph halacha chet. Kol ish mi Yisrael chayev v'talmud Torah. Every Jew is chayev in Talmud Torah. What's the big deal? You just said it a minute ago. Katan aviv chayev l'lamdo. And if the father can't teach him, the kid has to learn on his own. I think between those two halachot, you have the equivalent of kol ish mi Yisrael. What's going on? He's repeating the same concept. But look at the way he repeats it. Kol ish mi Yisrael chayev v'talmud Torah. Bein ani, bein ashir, bein shalein gugufo, bein bal yisurim. People are healthy, people are sick. Bein bachur, people are young, have energy. Bein shayazakein gadol, shetashash kocho, very weak. I can tell you, Eidat Nemana, my mother's husband, I saw him get on the bus today to go to Shir in Heichal Shlomo. A young man of 91 years of age, who is not that well today. Very serious heart problems, 91 years of age. This already is the third straight day he's been able to go back to his regular shir. No, Baruch Hashem, you fellas are Makayim, you're Makayim Bachur, Ben Bachur, you're young, you're healthy. Ben Shayaza Ken, Kadosh Tarkal, Afilo Haya Ani, Hamit Maznes Menat Staka, even if you're poor, and you have to go around collecting handouts to live. Mumachazel Aptachim, the Rambam doesn't waste words there. The Rambam, who generally guards every syllable. Here he's so loquacious, so descriptive. Afilo Balishal Banim, like some of you fellas, a wife and children, you know what, that's a euphemism, you have to support them. A wife and children have to be supported. Money. You know, you have to, that's it, that's life, that's money, that's why we, the Rambam's the same Rambam with Paskin. First you have to build a house, have a panasa, then you get married, you have to support a wife and children. And nevertheless, with all the pressures of having support, Chayav likbo lozman letalmid Torah, b'yom v'layla, shenema, and he quotes from Yoshua, perek aleph, pasuk chet, v'hagita bo, yom v'layla. Wow, and the Rebbe asks so beautifully, what is the Rambam doing? What is he telling us? Why did he have to spell out this halacha chet? He already said, Chayev avle lameidet beno. Chayev avle lameidet ben beno. And if you have no father and have no grandfather, your father, your grandfather, Amayorit, so there were goyim. Anything is possible. Who knows? You had a Jewish mother and a goyish father. Nowadays, we're heading, this can be the norm yet in the state of Israel, lo aleinu, with the Russian aliyah. It's a very serious problem. So when you grow up, you have to learn Torah. And then the Rambam comes along, Kol Ish Mi Yisrael, and he describes, Ribbono Shel Olam, he starts describing, starts giving us a beautiful poetic description, whether you're poor or wealthy, whether you're young or old, whether you're ill or healthy, whether you're not married, whether you are married, whether you're childless, whether you have children, whether you have a bad employee, a good employee, Ribbono Shel Olam, a bad employer, a good employer, Ribbono Shel Olam, what's happening here? The Rav said so beautifully. What do we see from this? The Rambam is talking about two different levels of Torah study. There are two different halachot here. Torah study has two components. In the first halacha, where the Rambam says, Chayav, 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 Lelameid et Beno, there the Rambam is talking about simple acquisition of knowledge. Person has to learn Torah, to be a Talmud Chacham, and to know as much of the Torah as possible. That's knowledge. Here in that halacha, in the early halacha, we're talking about how much do you learn, what the results are, what are your accomplishments, what do you know. On that level, pardon the analogy, Talmud Torah is no different than biology, chemistry, mathematics,
psychology, physics, English literature, what have you. Knowledge. Knowledge. We went to class, we were tested. You fellas were tested yesterday. Those of you that are here, I assume took your exams already in Basav Chalav. Rabbi Miller doesn't give anyone a grade for frumkeit, for tzidkit. He's not interested whether you have a beard or don't have a beard. He's interested, did you know the material or you didn't know the material? I took exams for the Rav. Rabbi Lichten used to mock them. We got two grades. A numerical grade, like a 94, let's say, and then you got a grade for Havana. Aaron Lichtenstein, a B plus, an Aleph minus, an Aleph. My last exam, I got an Aleph from Rabbaran in Havana. I was dancing on the roof. I was walking upside down. You'll hear it on that was Sunday's class. Tonight, Shev Shalach Chaimo. I was walking on the ceilings with joy. That's upside down. Professor Louis Feldman, I have History of Civilization, I was his first student. Jeff, you know what I'm talking about? Professor Louis Feldman, he sends fear into your heart, the mere mention of a name. You're looking at the only student in all his 40 plus years of teaching at Yeshiva University, 41 years now, you're looking at the only student who ever got a full Aleph. Those were two grades above an A. Louis Feldman ain't Kleinigkeit. He had an A plus, and an Aleph. An Aleph. Ribbono shel Olam, I got an Aleph. I'll tell you how. I don't have time now. The report I did, the paper I did for him, I'll tell you about it. You can ask me if they could. Not now. But I got an Aleph. Ribbono shel Olam, this is Torah. You know it, you got an Aleph. You don't know it, the elictif tyrant dread. That's all. You'll be a street cleaner. You know the way I rebam. You have a mind that you might as well learn how to gamble because there's no other way you're going to make a fast buck. Torah on that level. Acquisition of knowledge. The method is not important. When you take an exam in your Yoredeya, David Miller never asks you how you studied. That's unimportant. That doesn't count. The guys have good study habits. Bear took a guy took a. There were guys that were what? Professor Ralph Rosenberg. Any of you remember him? Why you? Zichron Levracha, professor of German. He used always to tell the story of the kid that didn't come to any class during the year. Came to the first class, signed in. Doesn't show 8 months. Comes back in June to take the final. The professor says, you rotten guy, you signed up for my course, you didn't come all year, now you're taking the final? He says, yes, professor. All right, I'm going to let you take the final. Let's see how little you know. Guy takes the final, 98. Professor says, I don't understand, he says. You didn't come to one class, you came only once, the first class, and you got a 98. He says, yeah, that first class killed my 100. The guy got a 98. It doesn't matter. Did he study? How he studied? Didn't what the method? You got it, you got it. Some people have crazy study habits. They cram. Other people are organized. Some people have quick minds. Been learning the size. What another guy has to hurry on for 1 week, some wise aleck can do it in 22 minutes. You understand? The first level of Talmud Torah is knowledge. How much do you know? Acquisition of knowledge. The second level in Halacha Chet, there already it's the method that counts. There already do you have an organized system. There we're talking about you're not studying physics, you're not studying biology. You're studying the Vah Hashem, Zu Halacha. You're studying God's words. Do you have an organized system? Are you constant? Do you acknowledge the presence of Ima Shechina? Are you constantly learning? Are you constantly recalling that you're a Jew? You're the Makabel Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the noting Torah. Are you constantly looking the Ima Shechina Shochem Itam Betoch Tumatam in the eye? See, these questions are irrelevant when it comes to physics and chemistry. Physics and chemistry, English literature and psychology, all that matters. You know or you don't know. You passed the exam, you didn't pass the exam. My daughter's in law school now at the Hebrew U. So she Xerox notes. I say, what are all these notes? She Xerox 200 pages. Oh, this is a course I'm supposedly taking. I said, but you're never going to the course. You know, you don't have to go. They don't take attendance. You just take the exam at the end of the year. They couldn't care less. Attended the course, didn't attend the course. She asked a set of notes. She crams the notes. She takes the exam. That's all that counts. That's on the first level. But the Talmud Torah, there's a second level. Oh, on that level, there's a Ima Shechina, there's a Notein HaTorah involved. And there, you have to have a constant, ongoing, intimate relationship. And the Rebbe said so beautifully, the truth of the matter is that in the world to come, you're asked both questions. This is a famous contradiction. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Zayin Omer Aleph, Ein p'chilat dino shel adam nidon elo al divrei Torah. The first question they ask you in the world to come when you meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you know? How did the Gemara put it in Baba Batra? Ashrei misha balakan v'talmudo biyado. Do you know something? Don't you know something? What have you done? Shabbat lamed aleph amed aleph, the famous Gemara, b'sha'a shemachnisin adam ledin, omrim lo. Three questions. Natata v'natata biyamuna? Did you deal honestly? Then they ask him, Kavata itim l'Torah? Did you establish times to learn Torah? So Tosfat, in Sanhedrin, Daf Zayin Amar Aleph, Divrei Hamatki, Lalal, Divrei Torah, asked a beautiful question. Here we say in Sanhedrin, the first question you're asked, what do you know? And yet in Shabbat, it's the second question you're asked, about Kfiyat Itim LeTorah. What's happening? There's a contradiction. Is it first? Is it second? Why the change in language? And Tosfos explains so beautifully. Hatam biyadam ho shel seik b'Torah mairi, ele shelo kava itim, v'hachi mairi kishelo asak klal. And Tosfos says so beautifully, there are two levels of questions. The first question you're asked, did you study? Did you study? Did you put aside time? Do you know anything? Only afterwards does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask, what was the method you used? HaKavata itim. Did you set aside a set, organized, constant, ongoing schedule? And what do we see from these two levels? You can have Talmud Torah without Kviyot. And you can have Talmud Torah with a schedule, a tachnit, kavua, tmidit, firmly established, ongoing. And these are why they're two different questions. And this is why the Rambam paskin two different halachot. And they're two different obligations here. On one level, every person, Jew in the world, is chayav to study Torah and have knowledge, acquisition of knowledge, and know the Torah, and know how to paskin, and know how to live, and to know kodshim and tarit to the best of his ability, and zrayim, whether it's halakha l'maisa or not halakha l'maisa, it is the acquisition of knowledge. On the second level, what is the method? How did you do it? How did you accomplish it? Two different mitzvot. To know, and to set aside an organized, ongoing, constant method, schedule, circumscribed of Torah study. And of course, the obvious question, and we won't be able to go any further than this today, but the obvious question, we'll answer it, it's beautiful. Why does it matter? Look, if knowledge is what counts, if Jeffrey Coburn got a 98 on David Miller's exam on Basa V'Chalav? Why does it matter how he accomplished it? Why does it matter if his wife xeroxed the notes, taught him the material? Why does it matter? David got a 95 in the exam. Why does it matter if until a week ago he didn't open a book, didn't study anything, he xeroxed Brian Galbert's notes, he chazed them over, and he got a 94? What does it matter? Why the second question? But the Rebbe said so beautifully, because Talmud Torah is unlike any other wisdom in the world. Talmud Torah has, on one level, a pure intellectual performance. On that level, it doesn't matter. All that counts is intellect. You know it, you don't know it. The physics is yours, the mathematics is yours, the biology is yours, the Talmud Torah is yours. You know it, that's all that counts. However, on the second level, Talmud Torah is a rendezvous. It is an ongoing search for God, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the first level, it's like any other subject. When you study it, you face an object. It's an object. It's like a math book, a biology book. On that level, all that counts. Kama lamadata. How much did you learn?
How much do you know? What grade did you get in the exam? On the second level, Talmud Torah becomes an all-encompassing drive. It's not an object. It's God's Torah. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Before, on the first level, the Rebbe said it from a paraphrase, it is I versus it. The Torah is no more than an it. On the second level, it's I versus thou, with a capital T. Within the Torah, within this inanimate object, we find the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we find the Shekhinah, we find God. We are Jews, fulfilled emotionally, not just intellectually. Fulfilled philosophically, theologically, eschatologically, not just intellectual. On the second level, I dash thou. On the first level, I dash it. And the it is no different than any other secular subject. And this is why. A scientist can go into the laboratory when he wants. We were all in Machon Lev on our tour of Israel with the UJA, and all of us remember the laboratories and no dust particles and what we saw, and the scientists sitting and eating and drinking and joking around. Then they put on their white monkey uniforms and they went back to their work. You do what you want. You have to finish a certain amount of material. You have to finish the textbook. You have to finish the mathematical questions, the formulas, the equations. You're your boss. You do what you want, when you want, when you're in the mood, as people say. When it talks about the study of Torah, when you go into the Beit Medrash to meet God, chas v'chalila, you should do it when you want, haphazardly, in a desolatory fashion. When you meet God, it has to be constant. It has to be ongoing. And here the Rav said, the audience went hysterical. The Rav said so beautifully, it's like a date with a girl. Before you go out with the girl, you have to call her. You have to make a time to meet her. Hashem Yirachem, if you're late for the date. That girl is going to walk away, never accept a call from you again. You're irresponsible. You're unreliable. You don't appreciate the girl whom you have called. How do you embarrass her? Stand her up. Keep her waiting. On the second level of the study of Torah, it's a date with a girl. Except this time the girl is Ima Shekhinah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, revealing himself to us in his feminine side, the Shekhinah side. And therefore, you have to make a date. You have to keep it constantly. You have to show that you appreciate and value your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is why the Rebbe said so beautifully, in Halacha Chet, why did the Rambam spell it all out? Because the Rambam wanted to show on the first level of acquisition of knowledge, Ein Hachinami, we can have many excuses why we didn't accomplish, why we didn't finish, why we didn't graduate high school, why we didn't graduate college. Look how many people started studying for post-college degrees, graduate school degrees. They got married, they had children, they had to make a living. How many people do you meet later in life? I could have been a doctor, I could have been a rabbi, I could have been a professor, I could have been that, I could have been, but I had to go away and make a living. And what can I tell you? Today I'm a shopkeeper, I'm a stockbroker, I'm a real estate salesman, but that's not my real calling. How many times do you hear that? And the truth of the matter is, on the first level, fine, we have to accept it. You didn't have the time, you didn't have the time. You couldn't accomplish it, you couldn't accomplish it. That's fine and good. But on the second level of Talmud Torah, when it's the ongoing rendezvous, the ongoing date with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Ima Shekhinah, every Jew has to keep at it constantly, ongoing. And that's what the Rambam spells out. That's why he becomes so poetic and so dramatic. Avul Bavarnas, he wants to warn us that nothing in the world can interfere with this.
You were created by God. You're poor. Even a poor man has to study Torah. You're rich, and rich people, my benachasim, my bedegal God, believe me, I've seen some rich people. I know the pressures on them. No matter how much pressure, no matter how busy you are with your hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars in investments, no amount of wealth can act as an excuse. You are healthy. You're not healthy. No matter what the reason is, you have a wife and children, you don't have a wife and children. And you know what's amazing? Look where the Rambam brought the proof from. Where do we read about Vagita Bo Yomam Valaila? Can anyone tell me where that pasuk is from? I quote it to you. It's from Yehoshua. Yes, but when Yehoshua? Just before the Jews are about to conquer Ai. And it's an unbelievable Gemara. Megillah Daf Gimel Amar Aleph. And quoting from Yehoshua Hey, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayehi biyot Yehoshua biyericho. Vayisare no vayavi ne isho meita negdo. Armalo, the Gemara says. Emish bitalkim tamichlo ben habayim. Vaachshav bitalkim Talmud Torah. And then they quote the pasuk we quoted before, Vayelech, the pasuk from Yehoshua, not that we quoted before, but the pasuk Yehoshua, Perek Chet, pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayelech Yehoshua b'layla hachu betocha emek. And the Gemara says, Melamed shalon ba'omko shel halacha. What an amazing Gemara. In Yericho, when the Jews went to conquer Yericho, the battle was so severe, so difficult, they didn't have time to learn Torah. An angel came and gave them the devil. You were mavatel from Torah. You abrogated the Torah study. And they said to the angel, what could we do? We were at war. And the angel said, no, even at war, this is not mathematics, this is not physics. Even at war, there has to be the ongoing pegisha, the ongoing love affair with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Jews learned, the next city they conquered was Ai, and look what happens. V'alan v'yolan Yehoshua b'laylachu betocha emek. And Chazal learned out, mitoch omko shel halacha. Yehoshua learned this lesson, and even under the most difficult of conditions, he studied Torah. And now you can understand with the Rambam quoting from Yehoshua, Vehigita bo yomam v'layla, the Rambam quoting from Yehoshua, who is the Avtipus, the prototype, the man who teaches us that even under the most difficult of circumstances, even under the most tragic of circumstances, even on the battlefield, the Jew has to be medakdeik, because the Shekhinah is always there, the Shekhinah is always waiting for you, you have made a constant date with the Shekhinah, and it's time to keep your commitment, to keep your promise. You cannot forget about Ima Shekhinah. And let me end off by paying compliment to the Israeli Defense Forces. I want to tell you that the 14 and a half years I served in the Army, outside of basic training, all I ever did in the Army was teach Torah. And I can tell you, Eidet Nemana, that in the Milchemet Yom Kippurim, where I was a volunteer, and in Shalag, Shalom HaGalil of 1982, right after the most difficult, bloody battles, within a day, we were right there teaching Torah. Mamashikiyim shelon bomko shel halacha. And that's a tremendous compliment, a tremendous schut for us, for the Israeli army, and for the rabbinate that functions so constructively within the IDF. So let me reiterate. What did we do today? The heart of the Shia, the Bechira Chavshit. God is our Father, God is our Mother. The implications. Why the Rambam could not list Bechira Chavshit as one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. It's a very Ikaron Gadol. He uses very important words. Look into Hilchot Shuva. Yisol Gadol B'Yahadur. It's a very important concept. And yet, it could not be part of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. Not always can we meet God's demands. Not always can we stand free with our Bechira Chavshit. And this is why there has to be an antithesis. Not Avinu Shebashamayim, but Ima Shechina. And Ima Shechina constantly waiting, like a mother waits to take a child across the street, like a mother wipes off the child's dirty body, cleaning him off after he dirtied his diaper. That's the way God relates to us when we're filled with sin. This is why tshuva is possible. And this is why there are two levels of God's relationship. In an earthly situation, a father's a father, a mother's a mother. In the heavenly situation, God takes on both the paternal role and the maternal role. And the Rav explains so beautifully the psak of the Rambam, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, Amokam HaMikdash, Hashchina lo zaza, because God is waiting for the Jew to come back, for the Jew to return. And even the Rabbad, it's not that he denies this concept, but he simply learns that Im Hashchina moved on to the Galut, following the Jews wherever they went, be it Germany, be it Poland, be it the United States. And then we came into Talmud Torah, and we saw that Talmud Torah functions on two levels. On one level, it is an intellectual pursuit. God the disciplinarian. On that level, it's acquisition of knowledge, like any other level, like any other acquisition of knowledge. On the second level, it's very different. It's constant, it's ongoing. It's acknowledging the woman in our lives. Acknowledging Ima Shechina. You don't want to disappoint her. You don't want to let her down. You have to give her that respect to show that you care about her. You just don't walk in on her. It's not like a laboratory that you have the key. Today I came in, the next day I was dead drunk. I'm a Russian, I had to have a little vodka. I was too, I was enjoying life, didn't have time. It's only the next day that I'm going to show up at the laboratory. Have a hangover today. Ima Shechina, Chas V'Chalila. It's not acquisition of knowledge. And it's the love ongoing, the date, the kviyut, the pikisha. And this is why in the Olam Haba, there are two different questions. What you know, and how you acquired it. A reflection of two different relationships with God. And this is why the Rambam is so dramatic in Halacha Chet. He spells it out, because please, don't give me any excuse. Rich or poor, healthy or sick, children or no children, burdened or not burdened, peace of mind or no peace of mind, a Jew has an obligation to acknowledge Ima Shechina every day. She is waiting to hear from you. Please don't disappoint her. And the Gemara Megillah is so poignant and so powerful. Even B'shtei HaKrav, Halon, those beautiful words, V'yalon B'layla Hahu B'tocha Emek, Shalon, Ba'omkel Shel Halacha. Even under such conditions, they studied Torah. Young people, Be'ezrat Hashem Yitbarach, we still have about another 20 minutes, 30 minutes of this lecture to finish out. It's not over yet. Beautiful, beautiful insight from the Rav. Overwhelming. What a beautiful piece in memory of his wife, 1968. And then we come down to the finale for the year. And I was looking and thinking, and there's so much choice and what to say, what to do. But I decided to honor my student, Jack Levenstein, who just celebrated yesterday. His son put on tefillin for the first time. The Torah, a gavra that is chayav to put on the tefillin at the Kotel HaMaravi. Think of the schut, we take it for granted. We come from Kew Gardens Hills, what's the big deal? It's a big schut, Baruch Hashem, that we can go to the Kotel. Jack comes from Toronto. Think what your grandparents would have given. And we take it for granted. We're here, we're there, we're back. We have choice, where to live, what to do. Evil Amoshevlo. Take it for granted. What a schut. Jack heard me give a shir many years ago on Shavuot night, an Ohel Rivka. And Jack couldn't take notes that night. And he pleaded with me to give that shir again. I haven't given it in many years. I will give, that will be the finale of the year. It is my creation. I have taken from many different areas where the Rebbe spoke about Talmud Torah. It's a perfect encore to what we're talking about today and next week. Where the Rebbe spoke about Talmud Torah and the relationship between a student and a Rebbe. And I have taken from many different places and put it together in one master symphony before God and man. And Be'ezrat Hashem Yitbarach, I hope to start that next week. So, on Sunday, we are back to the world of Tanai B'Kedushin and all the fascinating questions of what goes on in a person's mind and what is a woman willing to waive and what is she not willing to waive. And on Tuesday,